Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hey.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm kicking, man.
You're kicking?
Yeah.
Good.
Made that up, but...
I could tell.
Here we are. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about frogging today.
Again?
Yeah. We have a couple frogging stories that we've talked about in the past, and we haven't done one in a while, so I figured it would be fun. 2026 is here, so here we are talking about another frogging batch of stories.
Or it'll be entertaining and mildly disturbing.
Well, also that, but I don't know. I think at least the second story you will get a kick out of.
There's multiple.
Yes, there is multiple, yes.
How many people are frogging out there?
Apparently a lot, so lock your doors.
Stop doing that.
Yeah.
It's so violating.
I agree.
It's not cool.
Hey, if there are any froggers out there listening,
Could you imagine? Could you imagine we have one write in?
That would be really scary, but hey, I'll take the email. If you have a story, write it in.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's, like, every once in a while, I will think there's a frogger in our house.
Oh, totally. We hear a bump in the night. We're like, there's definitely someone here.
Every time our neighbor comes home, I think that we're being broken into.
Me too. Yep. And we've lived here for a while now, so.
Yeah, well.
We're just a couple.
What are you going to do?
Anxious birds? That's all right.
It's okay, you move on, you go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we're talking about frogging today. Before we jump in, see what I did there? I wanted to let you know that bonus episode number 48 should be coming out, I believe today, over on Patreon. Patreon.com/NotTodayPodcast. We're going to be talking about Jim Manning and Charlotte Allen, who were on a week-long diving expedition in Komodo National Park. They resurfaced to find their dive boat missing. And when they saw the boat return, they tried to flag it down, but the boat didn't notice them. And an hour later, the divers were horrified to see the boat speed away, leaving them stranded in the middle of the ocean. So that is what we'll be talking about over on Patreon. You can hear that story and 47 others. You should go check them out. They're all really great. So do it.
Do it. It's more than one episode extra.
Yeah, it's 48 of them.
So, you know?
Right now. And more to come. And you can vote on them. So patreon.com/NotTodayPodcast. But for today, we're talking about some froggers. So why don't we jump right in?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Right into the attic.
Yeah, let's jump into the attic. Tim Brown works in the oil and gas industry and lived with his wife, Monica, and his 11-year-old daughter, Presley, in Ardmore, Oklahoma in November of 2016. What a year. Am I right?
Right.
It's the trend. I'm just...
Oh, right. You know. Sure.
Everyone's obsessed with 2016 right now. Anyway, they moved into a small gated community called Tuscan Vineyards, which was very safe. They never locked their doors, and they knew all of their neighbors, and they all looked out for one another. Presley had a bunch of kids her age who lived in this neighborhood, and they would hang out after school every day, and they all loved this neighborhood. Like I said, it felt very, very safe, so it was great. And right when you pulled into the neighborhood, the Browns were the first lot on the left. And this was their dream home. They lived on a 3-acre lot and had just finished their construction of the home not too long before the story takes place. They had only been living there for about a month at the time of the story. And they were really excited to finally be moved in because they knew that this would be their forever home. At least that was their intention. It was a Tuscan-style two-story home, 4,800 square feet, with a detached living area. So, massive house.
That is like three houses.
Yeah, it is a really, really big house. And they had an entrance to the house through the garage, but the entry they used was the kitchen entry. So they had like the main entry near the kitchen. But point being, this was a really nice house. Presley loved her new bedroom because she got to paint it the color she liked, and she had a massive room for an 11-year-old. I mean, this house was 4,800 square feet, so picture a bedroom in that house, like just massive.
Yeah.
She also had a large walk-in closet with clothing racks on both sides and a built-in dresser, which she filled with her competitive cheer and dance costumes as well as her normal clothing. She also had a large vanity in her room, so she would sit in there all the time and do her makeup, which she loved to do. So Presley was super happy with this new house and her new room and everything. So November 14th, 2016 started out like any other day, and it was just after Presley's birthday. She had gotten a lot of presents that were scattered around her room, including a couple $100 in cash that she had left on her dresser.
Couple hunch in 2016.
Oh, yeah. For an 11-year-old?
That's a lot of money.
She's rich.
Yeah.
That morning, Monica had gone on the Neighborhood Watch community page, and she had seen two posts that had stuck out to her. One was a robbery that had taken place in the neighborhood. There had been $10,000 in stolen items and thousands more in property damage. The post told people to lock their doors because the person had gotten away. And the second post was about a young man who was missing in Ardmore and asked people to keep an eye out for him.
Wait, all in the same week?
Yeah.
Somebody got kidnapped or lost and they stole a bunch of money?
So these were two separate posts in the community page, I'm assuming on Facebook. One was about a robbery and the other was about a missing young man. But the two posts stuck out to Monica.
I mean, as they would.
Right. So from there, Monica went about her day after checking this forum. And around 2:50, she picked up Presley from school, as she normally would. Tim had been away on a business trip in Miami, but around 3 p.m., he finally arrived home. And they had landscapers working on their yard as Tim was arriving home, and one of them approached him kind of frantically and said, "Mr. Brown, someone ran into your house and he hasn't come out."
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He was worried about it because he knew who was supposed to live there, and this guy definitely wasn't one of them. Tim said, quote, "I live in Oklahoma. For one guy, we don't call 911. So I was definitely confident that I can handle it on my own." Whatever that means.
Well, it means he's going to shoot him.
Well, that was what I gathered.
Does he have the gun now, or does he have to go past the guy to go into his gun safe and go, doot, 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 open it? Get the clip.
Right.
And then the gun. If he stored it properly.
Right.
Put them together like a Lego and then click clack and then be ready.
I'm assuming probably that, unless he is literally strapped coming home from a work meeting in Miami, which
he might be.
Probably not, because he probably came from a flight, right?
You can carry your gun through the airport.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that he probably didn't have his gun on him.
We're about to find out, huh?
We'll see. So when he went in to look, he went upstairs first. He looked through every corner of the attic but didn't find anything, so he came downstairs and searched every room and every closet in the house, but no one was there. And after the search, Tim was confident that whoever had run into his house must have run out of one of the other doors and nobody had seen him. So since he wasn't concerned, Tim and Monica decided that they were going to go get groceries because he had searched, apparently, every inch of this house and he didn't find anyone. So he's like, all right, well, sure, the landscaper saw someone run in, but this is a very, very big house. So there's probably a couple other doors or windows that he could have gotten out of, and he probably got out from another area.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I still would have made a police report.
Sure, but that's not what Tim did. Instead, he and his wife were going to go get some groceries.
Tim's ready to go get tacos or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I just got home from a work trip. I need to get my life back in order. Let's go get some groceries. But Presley didn't want to go with them. So they left her at home on the couch while they went into town to go get groceries, which was about 5 miles away. And Tim said he felt safe leaving her there because of the town that they lived in. There wasn't a lot of problems there. This was, as I've said before, a safe area and a safe town. And
also, he had just swept the entire house.
Exactly. While they were gone, Presley hung out on the couch on her phone. And she wasn't worried because she didn't know she had any reason to be. I'm sure Tim didn't come in and say, "Hey, my 11-year-old daughter, I'm searching for some random man who supposedly ran in here. It's time for you to be afraid." He probably didn't tell her that. So she's right. Just sitting on the couch scrolling on her phone as 11-year-olds do. Thankfully, nothing happened in the hour that they were gone. And when they got back, Presley was still sitting on the couch on her phone, which is great because
lovely.
Had she gone somewhere else, I don't know if something else would have happened. Tim and Monica unloaded the groceries and Presley told her parents that she was going to go take a shower and she went to her room. And Tim and Monica went to Tim's office at the back of the house and were going to go over some business things. But after a few minutes, they heard a blood-curdling scream come from across the house, and they knew that it was their 11-year-old daughter, Presley. Monica said it was the kind of scream you hear in a horror movie when someone's getting murdered, so they were immediately terrified. Tim and Monica jumped up and began running to their daughter. When Presley had gone to her room to take a shower, she turned the water on in her bathroom, and as she was standing in front of her mirror, she saw a man fall over in her closet. Before she could even process what she was seeing, he told her, "Don't be scared, little girl." Which was when she...
Having the opposite effect.
Right. Which was when she screamed and ran out of her room. She was so in shock, she didn't even really see what he looked like. She just knew there was a man in her bedroom. And as she ran out of her room, he stood up and ran after her.
A bro.
She sprinted out of her bedroom and toward the main living area. And at the same time, Tim and Monica were running toward Presley's room. So they met basically in the center of the living room, which was like the center of the house. They saw Presley had a frantic look on her face as she turned the corner and sprinted toward them, and they could see the fear in her eyes and that she was crying. And instead of Presley running to her father, she ran past her father and out the front door.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. As she ran past, she screamed, "There's a man in my closet," which was when all of the hairs on Tim's neck stood up. Monica followed Presley out the door to catch up to her and make sure she was okay, and Tim was kind of in shock and was assessing the situation. Monica also called 911 and reported that they had an intruder. And as Tim was trying to process everything that was going on, he saw the man step out from around the corner. He was a tall, skinny guy in his early 20s with dark hair. And the only thing going through Tim's mind was, get him. He didn't know what had happened in his daughter's room, and he wanted to make sure that whatever this guy did, he never did it to anyone else ever again. So Tim charged the guy and grabbed him, which was when the two started fighting. Tim grabbed the guy and screamed at him, demanding to know what the hell he was doing in their house, and began punching him. And as they were struggling, Tim brings this guy to the ground, and the guy was saying, "Stop hitting me, don't hurt me." Monica, who had come back inside, hears this guy pleading with Tim and tells her husband to stop hitting him because she thought this was the missing kid that she had read about on the neighborhood watch forum. So she's like, "Oh my God, there's a missing young man. This is a young man. This must be him."
That's funny that that's her first reaction.
Right. And Tim was confused for a second because he didn't know about this post on the neighborhood forum. And it took a minute for him to register what she had said because he was so caught up in this moment and the anger he was feeling. He had an internal struggle at that point because this guy was in his 11-year-old daughter's closet right before she was about to take a shower. But then he started to wonder, "Oh my gosh, am I hurting someone that may be scared and lost?" As my wife is kind of saying.
Very confusing moment.
Yeah. It was just all happening very quickly and was such a chaotic moment because Monica had just called 911, Tim had been punching this guy, Presley was outside crying, and Monica had just stopped Tim, and now he didn't know what to think. It was just way too much happening at once. So Tim pulled the guy up and was holding him by his wrist because they wanted to figure out who the hell he was. And as Tim was holding him by the wrist, the guy wanted Tim to let go of him and acted as if he was going to swing at Tim. So Tim smacked him really quick. And he said, "Stop, calm down." But he didn't calm down. The guy jerked a few times to get loose, and eventually he managed to get free from Tim's grasp, and he took off running out the front door because it was still open. They had a barbed wire fence, which he got briefly caught on as he tried jumping over their fence, but he ran into the night, and that was the last they saw of him.
Whoa.
So once the guy was gone, Monica found Presley, who was still outside, and Tim hugged her and asked if she was okay, which she said she was, and the first thing Tim asked was, "Did he touch you?" Which Presley said no, nor had she gotten undressed before her shower, thankfully. So he hadn't seen anything. She did tell her father that she had been in and out of her closet multiple times while she was getting ready for her shower, and then the last time she went into her closet, she saw him standing in the closet, which was petrifying.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he had just been in the closet the whole time. And that was when she screamed and threw her phone at him and took off out her door. And then he ran after her, which is equally as terrifying as him standing in her closet in the first place.
Yeah, it's like, dude, run out.
Yeah, they don't know if he was running behind her to chase her or if he was running behind her to get out of the house, but that's what he did. He chased her. So Tim checked Presley's closet and found blood on her walls. The guy had scratches all up and down his arms and had bled all over her walls where he had laid underneath her clothes. So he was hiding under her clothes and had bled on the walls. And at that point, the police were pulling into Tim's driveway, so he went back out to give a statement along with his family. And that was when they learned that the guy and his girlfriend had been sitting at the end of a driveway in a car doing drugs when police had run the plates and saw the man had a warrant out for his arrest, so they attempted to arrest him, but he managed to wrestle his way away from the cops and took off running through the woods. And the Browns' neighborhood and home were the first one he would have come to, so they just got unlucky because they were the very, very first house after the woods, and their doors were just unlocked. So he just ran in. Tim and Monica also let the police know to check in on their neighbors to make sure this guy hadn't run through another neighbor's house. So they let their neighbors know to be on the lookout and to lock their doors because apparently no one does this in the neighborhood. But thankfully, nobody had seen him, and they were pretty confident that he had moved on to a different area. They found out later that the guy had stolen Presley's birthday money off of her dresser, and they learned that he wasn't the missing boy that the cops were looking for, like Monica had thought. This was just some random guy who ran into their house and ended up in their 11-year-old's closet.
Did he just get away?
Mm-hmm.
They never found him.
Well, they did. The next day, they heard from police who found the guy that his name was Race Cox.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you. C-O-X. I did have a feeling you would enjoy his name.
I don't even like enjoy it. It's just, it's so on the nose. It's so ridiculous.
Yep. So when Tim found out what his name was, that was pretty shocking information because Tim actually knew this guy.
What? Okay.
So he didn't know the guy personally, but he grew up with the guy's father. Not only that, but this guy's aunt also worked for Tim, and his first cousin babysat Presley. So,
whoa.
The Browns were very close with this family.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and Race didn't know that this was Tim's house, and also Tim must not have known Race very well, or really didn't know him at all because he didn't recognize him, obviously, when he was punching him in the face. So, yeah, he obviously didn't know who that was at the time, but he certainly knew his family very well. And Tim had mixed emotions when he found out who it was, that it was his friend's son. He was still very angry that it happened to his daughter, but he was also grateful that he didn't hurt the kid because he said he had every intention to hurt this kid. And the family was very sorry that it happened, and they weren't upset that Tim had slapped him around a little bit because they knew it could have been bad if someone else had been, you know, the guy in Presley's closet. Like, it could have been a very dangerous situation. They knew that race wasn't going to hurt Presley. They knew he was just running from the cops and ended up in this 11-year-old's closet, and it looked really bad, but they also understood that Tim had every right to be punching this guy in the face.
Yeah, I'm like, does race even have a case against him for assault? Like, if somebody comes into your house, can you just beat the shit out of them?
Yeah, I think you can. You're breaking and entering.
Yeah, no, but I know that breaking and entering is wrong, but also, I don't know, beating somebody to a pulp is also wrong.
You can kill someone that breaks into your house.
I know, but it's just, I'm sure it's different in every state, right?
I don't think Oklahoma is going to be the state that says you can't
beat the
shit. That's
actually true.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't it be crazy? It's like, okay, you can shoot them, but you can't assault them.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to be the case. And yeah, like I said, the family was not upset with Tim for beating him up a little bit. And when Tim found out who it was, I don't think he pressed charges either.
Really?
At least not to my knowledge. Like, maybe he did, but he didn't mention them. I think it was because he knew the family so well, and it was like a friend of his, and the aunt worked for him, and the cousin babysat Presley, and like, because they were so tied to that family, and because he knew that like this guy's intentions were not malicious toward his daughter, it was more so he was running from the cops and ended up there. Obviously, it looked terrible. I think that was why he didn't end up pressing charges.
That's crazy. Like, the moment when he's like, just let me go.
Right.
I'm like, no.
No.
Absolutely not. We'll have the cops come figure this one out.
Yeah, well, he obviously didn't want the cops to show up because he was running from the cops in the first place.
Yeah. This reminded me of a story. I feel like I've told it. So if I've told it, you cut it out. But I was on the way to a hockey tournament, and this drunk dude came through the Taco Bell drive-thru. They forgot his cinnamon twist. He came back in, proceeded to get in an argument with the cashier, went behind the counter, started assaulting the cashier.
Oh my
God.
Just
like punching him in the face, trying to choke him out. Luckily, my friend's dad, who does roofing, followed him, ripped him to the ground, and then laid on him.
Oh my God.
Until the cops came.
Yeah, no, I don't think you've told this story.
Okay. Well, this happened. I was like 12. I went to go get a slushie, and by the time I came back, this dude was on the ground, and, you know, just like bear of a man is on top of him. My dad hops in and, you know, kind of sits on him, you know, after the fact. It was kind of funny. But, you know, not like a terribly small guy.
Right.
And, you know, we're just waiting for the cops to come the whole time. This guy's, come on, man, get off me, please. No, just come on, man. The whole time just pleading with him to let him go.
Jeez.
And we're all just like, nope.
Yeah,
absolutely
nope.
Not.
Sorry.
The way you just did. So that moment like reminded me of this. I'm like, well, if you have him on the ground, just stay there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was because Monica was like, oh, this is a missing kid.
And I was like, well, we'll figure that out. Why won't we?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was the confusion of the moment that he was like, wait, what? Like,
yeah,
this guy's
like, what's going on?
Missing too?
He's missing, but he's in my daughter's closet. Yeah, yeah, I
like,
don't think so.
Is he the victim? Like, is he in trouble? Am I hurting? Am I the bad guy? Like, he was just so confused for a moment that he was like, all right, let me just take a second. Like,
right.
What the hell? But no, he was not the missing guy. And he actually knew this kid quite well, which is very strange. But thankfully, nothing happened to Presley other than some trauma, which is never fun.
I imagine the closet isn't exactly the same.
No. I mean, the whole house wasn't the same. They ended up moving.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was 11. And, like, that's...
It's so violating.
Very violating and pretty traumatizing for this young girl to have someone in her closet when she's, like, about to shower. You know? Like, she ended up being afraid of closets. She ended up being afraid of the dark. Like, she didn't want to sleep in her room for a while.
Right.
Like, she was really, really scared and affected by it. To the point where the family didn't want to leave, obviously, because they intended for this to be their forever home. But they ended up selling and moving to another, I'm sure, equally beautiful house somewhere else. So, yeah, that is what ended up happening. But she didn't get hurt, like, physically, which is
right.
the most important thing.
Well, a short-term frog.
Yes, a very short-term frog. But yeah, that is our first story. Scary.
He must have checked that closet.
Yeah, he probably did. I mean, it's his 11-year-old daughter's closet. You would think you would check there. He said he checked every closet and like attic
and just missed
crawl space. Yeah, he was hiding under the clothes in like his blood was all on the walls and stuff. Like he was definitely buried under some stuff.
Ugh, it's truly chilling.
Yeah.
To know he came that close.
I know.
Woof.
And also chilling to think that for an hour or so, Presley was alone in the house with him when they were going to get groceries.
Yeah.
So scary. And then thankfully, she did not get up to go take a shower while her parents were gone. That's just like what I kept thinking.
Right. Although, like you said, I don't think that was his motive.
I hope it wasn't malicious or...
Yeah. Well, we'll never know. And good. Good.
Yeah, and good.
I'm looking up if you can assault somebody if they come into your house.
You can.
You can, however... You have to have a reasonable belief that force is necessary to prevent harm, not merely out of anger or retaliation. They have to be an active threat. Yeah, I mean, those are the two.
I think he would qualify as an active threat.
Yeah, well.
He was chasing her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, you're right.
Definitely qualifies as an active threat.
Yeah, I mean, are you thinking about this? But yeah, I guess I didn't know. But it's... The law says, like, if they're running out of your house and they don't, like, pose an immediate threat to you, you can't just, like, shoot them in the back of the head.
Oh, sure. Well, good.
The glad, more you know.
Glad we've sorted that out.
This was at least in Michigan. Yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Why don't we move on to this second frogging story? Because I think you're going to enjoy it and...
Enjoy it?
Probably connect with it a little bit.
Okay.
You're going to feel...
What a lead-in.
Yeah. You're going to be able to put yourself in the story. How about that?
I always am.
But in a big way.
Okay.
Okay. So this next story takes place in 2013... Brett Mulligan was a senior at Ohio State University studying computer science and engineering.
Yay.
So already we've got...
My mortal enemy university.
Sure.
Direct competitor.
Right. But put that aside. I mean, you've got a guy studying computer science and engineering.
Yeah, definitely relate.
Yes. He was looking forward to graduating and starting his career after college, and he was thinking that this was going to be a great year. This was his senior year. He was looking forward to having a good time.
God, senior year was so sick.
It was so sick.
College was so sick.
Brett was living with Mark Hartman, and they'd known each other for 4 years at that point. They had met through doing engineering together and living in the same dorm. They had a bunch of guys that they were trying to live with that year. They mentioned there were about 8 of them. And on top of that, there were even 2 more of them that they wanted to have live with them at some point. So they started looking for a massive house for them to all live in. And they ended up finding a place on 13th Avenue in Columbus, Ohio, that appeared to be an old frat house or something like that. It had enough bedrooms to accommodate all of their friends. So that was where they decided to live that year. And it looked like a typical house you'd see on a college campus. But it was a little deceiving. It was bigger than it appeared. You wouldn't know how deep it went just from the front. Like looking at it from the street, it would look like the normal size of a college house. But if you went around to the side or the back or even into it, you would see just how big this house truly was. The back entrance had a steel stairway leading into the back hallway of the house on the second floor, which had 6 bedrooms. 3 on the left and 3 on the right, and if you kept walking forward, there was the kitchen to the right, the laundry to the left, and the bathroom straight ahead, and then they had a 3rd floor, I believe with more bedrooms, and then they had the 1st floor, which nobody lived on when they moved in, and that lasted for about a month or so, and then they also had the basement. So, I don't know the exact number of guys living there, but I think it was somewhere around 10 or 12 of them. Either way, this was just a big house with a lot of guys.
Sweet. Bunch of dudes being guys.
Yeah. I can't imagine what that house must have looked like. Like, cleanliness.
Cleanliness, not great.
Not great.
Not great.
Couldn't have been.
I mean, it would be shocking. They're all like type A,
mm-hmm.
OCD.
Right.
10 of them.
No, definitely not.
There's not a single slob.
They're just living in an old frat house and there's 10 guys.
It's spotless.
No way. Thinking of the state of your senior year house, living with a bunch of guys. If it's anything like that.
It was bedlam.
Yeah, it was a little dirty.
You couldn't go barefoot.
No. Couldn't even like put your hand down on like a surface without it being sticky. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was that bad. Well, come on.
It was pretty bad.
It
was pretty bad. The first morning the guys woke up in their new house in August of 2013, they walked into their kitchen to find all of the cabinets, the drawers, the fridge, the door, anything that could be open was open. Even the washing machine, the oven, all of it. Their initial thought was it could have been Brett, who was a sleepwalker. Because that was just a quirky thing he did. He had been known to get up in the middle of the night and go to the fridge or move things around or like open the fridge door and leave it open. But he'd never done anything like that. Like he had never come into a kitchen or into a room and opened up every single door and cabinet and drawer and just left it open. Like it looked crazy in there.
Yeah, well, Brett's a little whimsical.
When Mark and Brett lived together at their old apartment, Mark would see him sleepwalk every now and again, or something strange would happen, and that would be the reason. So as weird as this one was, they thought that that was the explanation. So Mark turned to Brett and asked, "Have you been sleepwalking?" As if he would know, which, like, that kind of made me laugh. But Brett denied that this could have been him because he's like, I sleepwalk, sure, but I've never done anything like this. Like, there's no way. But Mark didn't believe that. It seemed to be the only logical solution. Brett said it seemed too planned out and too meticulous. The only other thought the guys had was there's a ghost in our new frat house.
The ghost of semesters past.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't seem crazy to me.
I'm like, you're on board.
I'm like,
I know you're on board.
A haunted frat house isn't entirely out of the question. I don't know if I don't think I would be like, oh yeah, this is from a ghost, but
yeah. Well, I'm calling the cops and we're fingerprinting this
fingerprinting.
Bitch. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that they would just immediately jump to fingerprinting, but
well, here I am.
You get your own fingerprinting kit. You're like, I found fingerprints. And they're like, yeah, you live with 10 guys. Like,
yeah,
of
well,
course
take
there are
all of their fingerprints and clear them and go find if it's somebody else.
There's no,
and if it was Brett, I guess we'll know.
If they found Brett's fingerprints on all of the surfaces in that kitchen, that wouldn't prove anything because Brett lives there.
On all of them?
He lives there.
He doesn't open all the drawers.
Okay. This is
come on.
Quite enough.
He doesn't use the oven. Brett's not baking.
Some of the guys weren't really counting out the whole ghost in the frat house thing because all of the doors and cabinets and whatever being open seemed pretty ghostly to them. They did immediately all start joking about having a ghost, but they were all engineers, so they weren't necessarily the type to be believing in ghosts. Mark and Brett definitely didn't actually believe that it was a ghost, but one of their roommates really did believe that it was a ghost. He was pretty freaked out, and they laughed about that and brushed it off pretty quickly. But at the same time, they couldn't explain why the cabinets and doors were open. If it wasn't any of them, and it wasn't a ghost, who was it, and were they still in the house? The guys decided a ghost was a lot less threatening than a person, so their best bet was to search the house and make sure they didn't have an intruder. Their plan was to start at the top because there were no exit points up there and sweep their way down, quote-unquote, SWAT team style.
Right.
So now picture...
This is fun.
Right. So now picture, like, 10 college seniors sweeping their house. Yeah, SWAT team style. They worked their way from the third floor all the way down the stairs. Even though the idea of a ghost seemed crazy, the more they searched and came up with nothing, Brett began to doubt himself. They checked every room, closet, and crawl space. And when they got down to the basement, in front of them was a breaker box, a door to their right, and then to the left, on the far side, was a half bathroom. In the half bathroom was a cup with a toothbrush in it. The cleaning crew for the apartment hadn't actually fully cleaned out the house, so they just thought that they hadn't gotten to that point in the house yet, meaning like they hadn't cleared away that cup with the toothbrush. It must have just been old. So they began looking around the basement, which was very dark and dank, and it was a very typical college basement with lots of debris and tools that maintenance would use periodically. But it was also divided into rooms. All of the rooms in the basement were open, except for one room all the way to the right of the basement. And when they tried to jiggle the handle to get in, they couldn't because it was locked. Each of the guys tried their key in the deadbolt, but their keys wouldn't even go into the lock. It was strange because it was the only door in the house that they didn't have access to. When they put their ears up to the door to try to listen to what was behind it, they heard a whirring noise, like a computer fan. So they thought maybe it was a maintenance room. They didn't call the police because they didn't see any immediate threat. As they began leaving the basement, they saw an old door leaning up against the wall. So they decided to take the door and barricade the stairwell to the basement shut. And they used a stool to prop it closed so that if there was someone down there or something down there, it wasn't going to get out.
The fact that they didn't call the cops is kind of crazy.
Yeah, they didn't call the cops, but they barricaded the basement shut.
Yeah. I mean, I totally see how they get there, especially in college. You're like, do I want to deal with this? I have class tomorrow.
Right.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear it, right?
Right. Yeah, if it tries to get
it's
out.
It's fine. There's like 10 of us.
Right.
It's fine.
What are they going to do? Open all the cabinets? Ooh.
And the oven.
Yeah.
And the fridge.
Right.
Dude, I could totally take him.
That's probably the conversation.
Everyone independently thought that.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks later was the first week of school, and Brett was sitting at his desk doing homework when suddenly all the lights in his room and air conditioner went out. He thought to himself it was probably the breaker. And he remembered seeing the breaker box down in the basement. So he got up and went down to the basement to flip it back on, which he did. And the lights came back on. So he just chalked it up to bad maintenance with the house, like how the cleaning crew didn't quite make it to the basement. It was an older house with worn electricity and whatever. It was a shitty college house. So the fact that they had electrical problems wasn't surprising to him. But Brett's power started going out repeatedly, at least 3 to 4 times a week. And about a month later, around 1 p.m., Brett was once again doing his homework when his power went out. So like normal, he made the walk down to the basement to flip the breaker. But this time, when he got down there, he saw that the door that had been previously locked was now open. So he poked his head into the door and saw what appeared to be a normal college bedroom. There was a rug on the ground, and on top of that was a bed. There was an electric guitar and a desk with a chair, a mirror and a dresser. It was a completely normal college bedroom. Brett had solved the mystery of what was behind the door. And as he was looking in the room, he hears someone behind him say, "Oh, I was wondering when I would get to meet the people that live here."
What? Hello?
Brett's initial reaction to hearing that wasn't to immediately question it, because in his mind, there was a division between the second and third and first floor. So he thought maybe he had never really officially met the first floor neighbors. And this guy was just part of the lease. So he introduced...
What?
Yeah. So this guy in the basement introduced himself as Jeremy. He was a student at Ohio State. And he was wearing what you would expect a college student to be wearing. He was a medium-build guy. He seemed completely normal. And because their house was so weird, Brett even began thinking, of course they would put someone in the basement. What a shitty room to get on the lease. And he starts thinking about like their, you know, lease manager or whatever. And he's like, oh, these stupid guys. Like, what the hell? They're going to put this poor guy in the basement?
Wait, so what was the division of the house?
So I think the second and third floors were like more... their closer friends, and then I think the people who lived on the first floor moved in a couple months after them, and I think they probably were like acquaintances of their friends, so it seems like they hadn't like properly met them.
Oh, they don't know everyone that lives in their house?
Well, there's so many guys that live in this house that Brett was thinking, maybe I missed one.
Oh, but like 10 isn't really that many.
I don't know the actual number.
To go like, a month without meeting them. They're like on your lease.
Yeah, but he's also like, it's the first month of class. He's a senior at school. He's like getting his shit together. He's not like paying attention to that, you know? Like he...
I guess. I was just... crazy to me that they would never cross paths or...
Right. Well, he's just thinking, oh, maybe I missed this guy.
I guess, yeah.
I don't quite know how it was divvied up, but clearly there was some divide that made him feel like this was just someone who was on the lease who got the worst room in the house.
Was there anyone else in the basement?
No. The basement was... Like, picture a college house basement. Oh, yeah.
That's, unfinished.
Yeah, unfinished completely, like really scary and dark and dirty. That's what it looked like. But there was one room that like was locked and they couldn't get in. And then when he went down there, which he had done many, many times before, and suddenly the door was open. And he's like, what the hell? He peeks his head in and it's a completely functioning college bedroom.
That's so crazy. And then the guy's like, yeah, I'll go to school.
Yeah.
My name's Jeremy.
Right.
Wow. Well, I guess it's like he wasn't really trying to be... hidden that much.
His room was locked. Like he was not necessarily trying to be with the guys in the house, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he got caught and was like, yeah, whatever.
He played it super chill to the point where Brett didn't even know that anything was weird because the two of them had a short conversation and they talked about him living in the basement and how awful that must be. And he said he's normally not in the area anyway because he typically stays with his girlfriend. So... Jeremy's like, oh yeah, I live down here. It's kind of shitty, but like, I usually stay with my girlfriend anyway, so it's not a big deal. And then they both walked out of his room and Brett went back upstairs, thinking he had a completely normal interaction with a guy who lives in his house who's on the lease. And as he walked upstairs, Brett ran into a roommate who he had previously been discussing the house with and how many interesting things were going on there and how weird the whole house was in general. And Brett said, can you believe there's a guy in the basement? I just met him.
Hopefully somebody else is like, wait.
Well, yeah.
Hold on.
So that roommate did immediately question the guy in the basement and thought that it was extremely weird that there was a guy living in the basement. And shortly after that, Brett had to go off to marching band practice, so he left. So he's like, whatever, I don't know.
Oh, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm busy. But that roommate...
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Decided. Can't deal with this.
Yeah. He's like, okay, there's a guy living in the basement. He seems cool. So I'm going to go to marching band practice.
He's not even here that often. He's mostly with his girlfriend.
Yeah, right. Jeremy lives with his girlfriend. He's chill. Whatever.
It's probably a class.
Right.
Let him live.
But that roommate, who had a little more time on his hands, decided to call the realty company and see if they really did rent that room to someone. And the realty company let him know that no one was supposed to be in the basement.
How fun.
How fun is that?
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling crime novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in the satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta now, only on Prime Video.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Does anyone know Jeremy?
Well, the cops were called at this point because the roommate has just learned that nobody's supposed to be living in the basement. And to his knowledge, nobody knows Jeremy. When Mark got back from marching band practice... So earlier it was Brett and now it's Mark. So they both do marching band. Anyway, he had no idea what was going on at all. and he found police, his landlord, and a group of people standing in his front yard. And one of his roommates ran up to him and said, "Hey dude, guess what? The room that you thought someone might be in the basement, turns out there actually was somebody living down there." And Mark was very shocked, because it wasn't a ghost. It was truly a living person living in the room in the basement that they suspected someone was living in. So the police went into the basement and broke the door down, because by that time they got there, it was locked once again. And when they got inside, Jeremy was not there, but they did see what he had in his room. And like Brett said, it was a complete bedroom. But this guy did not live there. So the contents of the room were spread across the yard, because they're like, what the hell do we do with all this stuff? I guess put it on the lawn.
Yeah, I guess. What does the law state? I don't know.
They didn't want to deal with it. And they're like, maybe he'll come back and get his stuff.
What the hell?
But it was very alarming to know that this random guy had such easy access to all their things and their rooms and hadn't been detected until now. It was very scary. I mean, they had been living there for over a month, if not 2 months at this point, and this rando, who none of them knew, just had access to their house.
Yeah, it's freaky.
2 days later, one of his roommates had been talking to a friend who worked on The Lantern, which is a student-run publication of Ohio State, and he found the story to be completely absurd. So they published it in the school newspaper, and then from there, the local news became interested in the story, and they became like local celebrities on campus. They found out that some random guy had been living in the basement of this old frat house, and it was just like, what the hell? What kind of story is this?
Turns out it was a ghost. I don't know.
He's been dead for 50 years.
Yeah.
Brett said it was pretty awesome having a story like that to break the ice during his senior year, because anyone he talked to instantly knew who he was and what had happened. So he was just able to like go around campus and be like, yeah, I'm the guy who had the guy living in the basement.
Yeah, I'm the guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. And people were like, no way.
It like becomes his whole personality.
Pretty much. and like he got to like make friends and probably impress a girl.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're definitely using that.
You're pulling it out at a party.
You're definitely pulling that out.
Yeah.
That's a gift.
It's a gift from the frogging gods.
It really is.
Right. But here's the craziest part. So think about it. Jeremy was not trying to cause any trouble, right? He's just trying to live in this room. He's not really there very much. He's living with his...
trying to be there rent-free.
Right. He's trying to live there rent-free. He's living with his girlfriend most of the time. So why would he open all the cabinets and the doors and the oven and the fridge and whatever and pretty much alert everyone to his being there?
It doesn't make sense, but I don't know. He wanted to fuck with him. I have no idea.
Doesn't make sense. So about a month later, Brett was at a happy hour and a coworker approached him and started talking to him about the incident. And he started giving him details that were never specifically mentioned in the news article, like the fact that all of the cabinets had been opened in the first place. And then Brett asked him how he knew that. And he told Brett that it was because he had lived in that house the year before and he had actually kept a key and had intended to prank everyone living in that house for who knows how long. And his first prank was to go into the house that night and open every cabinet and door and fridge and oven. And that was his prank. So
it was him?
Mm-hmm. This was just some random coworker who had access to this house and he had a key and he kept it. And he's like, wouldn't it be funny if I went into the house and pranked the new people who live there? Which is equally as crazy, if you ask me.
What the hell?
So he admitted it to Brett. He's like, yeah, I have a key and I was going to prank all of you and I did. So consider yourself pranked, idiots.
So it wasn't even...
No, was not Jeremy. This crazy cabinet incident is what caused them to go down into the basement in the first place. But in the end, it wasn't even the guy living in the basement. It was someone completely unrelated to this entire thing who just wanted to prank them.
Damn, did they still have the key?
I don't know. If he hadn't pranked them, though, that guy probably would have lasted a lot longer, if not the whole year, completely undetected. Because he wasn't doing anything to draw attention to himself, and from what he said, he wasn't there very often. So the guys probably wouldn't have all gone down into the basement and like been going down there SWAT team style and like investigating and blah, blah, blah. They just probably wouldn't have even noticed.
Did they ever find out who it was?
No. So they never found out who Jeremy was or where he went or anything about him. He just left and he never came back.
Whoa.
Yep. Because, I mean, what he was doing was illegal, so he probably didn't want to have any repercussions.
Well, yeah, obviously. I'm sure he saw his stuff, like, on the lawn, and just kept walking.
Right. So, no, they don't know who Jeremy is or where he went or what he thought about all of this or what, but how he got in the first place, I don't know. But, yeah, this whole
so crazy
frogging story just made me kind of laugh because I just thought about your senior house. And honestly, I never went down into your basement, so I don't know what it looked like, but I assume that if someone wanted to live down there, they probably would have gone undetected for a very long time.
The living conditions would have been atrocious.
Well, sure.
But there was like one room in the basement that had all the old stuff. Like, I mean, it definitely was not a bedroom.
Right.
But it was a room. But it's like, in order to get to it, you would have had to go through one of the two doors and we would have heard you.
But your side door was always unlocked.
Yeah,
and people were coming and going all the time. So like, even if you heard that thing open and close, it wouldn't have been, no one would have been like alerted, you know?
I guess you're right. But I mean, our basement was like really open and I don't know, that room was not livable. So, but yeah, I mean, if it had been like legitimate rooms with locks on it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right. Yeah, it was just crazy to think about that.
But the other thing is that he played it off.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like immediately really happened.
I wonder like what was going through his mind when Brett was down there at the same time as him. Because he obviously, like you said, played it super cool. He's like, oh, yeah, I was wondering if I was ever going to get to meet the guys who lived here. As if he's just like supposed to be there. And like he's been wanting to meet the guys who live there. But also, it seems like he obviously was a smart guy. Like he...
Yeah, I mean, he probably had that line ready.
Yeah, so he knew he was doing something illegal.
Right, he was just probably trying to save rent. I mean, the rent is too damn high.
Well, sure.
But yeah, it really like feels like such a college story, you know?
I know.
Only at a college would this work.
Right.
Just every aspect of it, you know? And he was still like supposedly going to class?
Yeah. He was just a student, apparently.
And then what? He just like moved in with his girlfriend or found a new spot?
Unclear.
Wild.
Yeah. Jeremy is gone in the wind. He's gone.
Gone in time. Or he's like working at Goldman Sachs. I don't know.
I mean, he could be at this point, you know? Like it's now many years later, so he could be.
Could you imagine?
A very successful working professional at this point.
We just don't know.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's killing me that we don't know what happened, really.
Yeah, I wish I had like a nice little bow, but I don't. The only bow that I have is that the coworker was the one who did all the cabinets and doors, which is so funny to me.
That's so crazy. I wonder if they even were like, hey, dude, you got to turn your key back in.
Yeah, give me the key, bro.
Or if they were like, ah.
At this point, they cannot afford to be lax about who has a key.
I really don't know. I really think you like underestimate the like attitude of 10 guys in a house.
Right. Maybe.
You know?
Yeah, maybe. Well, they all survived, so.
It was all good.
Yeah, everything turned out okay in the end for all of them. But that's their story. I figured you'd get a kick out of it at the very least.
Yeah. I think this was the least threatening frogging story that we've told.
Absolutely.
And the fact that there were like so many other people in the house kind of just makes it feel like, it's one more.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's almost like just let him live there.
Right. I'm like, he's having trouble affording tuition and rent.
Right. He's with his girlfriend most of the time anyway.
Just pro bono.
He's quiet.
Take on another roommate. I mean, you haven't even seen him for a whole month.
Right.
What do you care?
He's got an electric guitar and you've never heard him one time.
Yeah. No, I could see how I totally get here.
Right.
Like, just let him live. He's cool, dude. Let's invite him to next Friday's party.
Right. No, Jeremy.
You know, right?
That guy's great.
Guy's great.
That guy rocks.
Like, I think that he could do like one keg stand and he would just be in.
He's a heat artist.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like one thing. We're going to haze you a little bit because you did break in and.
You did technically break and enter.
And live in our house for a month.
But intrude.
If you can crush a Bud Light faster than Brett, you can stay. Like, make it high stakes like that.
Yeah, they turn into an actual frat.
I mean, they kind of are.
Yeah. I honestly, that wouldn't be the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, this is like a sketch.
Right. I like that ending better.
Right?
Yeah. But anyway, that is their story. And I do have a couple of very short celebrity frogging stories. Very, very short. They were just like little paragraph long things.
Okay.
I think I'm only going to read two of them because the other ones are not like as interesting. But we've got George Michael and Pamela Anderson. So George Michael's instance of frogging, he had a woman living in his London home for 4 days. And he had been living in the house at the time. And even scarier, she was living under his floorboards.
Whoa.
Yeah. He told GQ magazine in an interview he realized there was someone there when he was in his living room and heard someone calling his name. And then she jumped out to confront him.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God. She was living in the floorboards?
Yeah.
What do you mean living?
I guess she was just hiding under his floor. I don't really know how she got there.
God, nuts, dude. Yeah, I'm selling that place immediately.
Yeah, I don't have a ton more information about like how this confrontation went down, but all I know is that he heard his name being called by this woman and he called the police and she was arrested and they figured out that she had been living under his floorboards for 4 days before she was found.
Yeah, I'm getting right out of there.
But that is all the information I have on that. But the other one is Pamela Anderson's frogging case, which is even stranger, potentially. She was at the height of her Baywatch fame when she suddenly noticed an unfamiliar face in the window of her guest house, which to her knowledge had been unoccupied. But there was a homeless woman living in Anderson's residence and wearing one of her red swimsuits from the famous television series, Baywatch. Do you know about Baywatch?
Yeah, I know about the slow-mo run.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. So
they're all just smoking hot.
Well, yes. So this woman was standing in one of the bathing suits.
Dude.
She said, quote, she had a letter that said, I'm not a lesbian. I just want to touch you.
Well, I think that you're mentally unwell.
Mm-hmm. Anderson recalled.
And you also might be a lesbian if you want to touch her.
Maybe look inward. Anderson recalled the terrifying incident, saying, quote, she got my bathing suit out of my room. I was there alone with two babies, and I remember seeing a face in a window. Isn't it the scariest thing you can think of? Anderson said she called security, but they were unable to find the frogging homeless woman. Over the course of 3 or 4 days, the woman then lived undetected in Anderson's main home, stealing her food. Anderson had already noticed that food items and clothing were going missing. And then eventually they found the woman and arrested her. But
oh my yeah. God, with two kids?
Yeah. So
oh,
she
that's
first
terrifying.
Right. Saw her in the bathing suit, found the letter, I guess, and then couldn't find her, and then food and clothing were going missing.
I just want to touch you.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yep. So those are instances of like true scary frogging. But
yeah. I guess did she know it was a woman at the time that she found the note or saw her?
Yeah, she did, but still terrifying.
I know. I guess if I had to pick man or woman, I'd go with the woman.
I guess.
You know?
Yeah, I
but
guess.
Usually it's the guy. It's a guy, you
sure.
know, frogging it up.
For sure.
This might be the first two I've heard about where it's a lady.
Maybe.
I feel like the other ones we've told have been dudes.
I think so too. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like it's just it feels different. I mean, it's still incredibly threatening, but you know.
Yes, yeah, super threatening. Yeah, Rihanna also had a frogger, and this was
really.
Yeah, a guy in 2018, Eduardo Leon, broke into her Hollywood home and stayed overnight. Fortunately, the singer wasn't at home, but he managed to get into the house and disabled the alarm.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was later found in the living room by her assistant, where he had unpacked a bag and was charging his phone. And this was his second attempt to gain access to her home, having attempted to break into a different house he thought belonged to the singer earlier that week. He was charged with stalking, vandalism, and first-degree residential burglary and resisting arrest. So, I have to imagine a celebrity... Celebrities are ripe for having froggers, because their houses are so big and also, like...
They're rarely home.
They're rarely home, and also it would be pretty cool as a frogger to be like, yeah, I lived in Rihanna's house.
Is there like a frogging community?
I don't know. Maybe.
I hope not.
I also hope not.
It makes, like, after you hear these, it makes it seem like getting frogged as a celebrity is super common.
Yeah, I don't think so. But probably, I mean, not, getting stalked as a celebrity is very common.
Yeah, that does suck. It's mm-hmm. just like always in the back of your head. And creepy.
Yeah,
not
super.
Fun.
Super. But those are the many frogging stories, I guess, at this point. I hope you enjoyed listening to them. I enjoyed looking into them and telling you. So here we are.
Here we are. What's your good thing?
My good thing is that 5-year-old Liam Ramos and his father are home in Minnesota after being detained by ICE and sent to Texas. We just got that news like yesterday or today. Yeah. I'm losing track, but
it's just truly horrific.
Yeah, fuck ICE
behavior.
For real.
It's like inhumane, cruel, and ineffective.
Well, yeah.
At their stated goal, even.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, totally unacceptable.
Definitely. Call your representatives. But usually we keep our good things light. So in the spirit of that, I can also give another good thing. My other good thing is that I'm going to be knitting a sweater soon, and I am picking out the color, and I'm really stuck on what color to pick, because in the dark times, you also need something that can clear your mind of everything going
yeah,
on in the world.
Sometimes you just need to be a grandma.
And sometimes you need to knit a damn sweater. And so I'm trying to figure out what color my sweater will be, and I am stuck on the color, but I'll figure it out. I'm probably going to knit a blue sweater. And that's my good thing. What is yours?
I also was going to have a twofold good thing
okay.
this week, although mine are both light. Number one being that today I have been reminded yet again of the existence of Puxatony Phil.
Oh, yes.
And I always forget, and then he comes along and he just tries to see his shadow. And it's just such a ridiculous holiday.
It is.
It's so fun. And it's so unique.
We have gotten the news that we are getting 6 more weeks of winter, which honestly, I'm not surprised about. It's been so cold. And if anything, gives me more faith in Punxsutawney Phil, because he saw his shadow. And if he had not seen his shadow and told me that spring had sprung, I would say, you're full of shit, Phil.
Right.
You know?
It's believable.
It's believable.
And Phil is a trusted source.
Right. At this point, he is trusted. So that's good.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I love everything about the holiday. And the second thing is that we had a ski trip, which was fun. It's been the first time that I've skied in almost a decade, which is crazy. But I don't know, I had a lot of fun, and I'm very sore.
Yeah, and I'm not, because I didn't ski. If you listened to last week's episode, you know that already. I sat in the hot tub while all of my friends went down those slopes.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Shout out, Phil. But that's all I got.
Great. Anyway, if you would like to check out all the bonus episodes we have, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram @nottoday_podcast. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share it with us and possibly hear it on an upcoming listeners episode, send it to nottodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have a TikTok that is nottodaypodcast and a Twitter that is nottodaypodcast, but the T on the podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.